Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. You don't need God. That's what a billboard on US 131 in Grand Rapids reads. It's one of a handful being put up across the country by the Center for Inquiry, and the organization's Michigan chapter president, Jeff Siever, joins me now to talk about this billboard campaign and the reaction it is drawing. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Thanks. Glad to be with you.
Now, the billboard reads in full, "You don't need God to hope, to care, to love, and to live." Do you think that most Americans disagree with that statement?
Well, I don't know. There is a large percentage of the religious population that actually does agree with that. We're seeing all kinds of comments out there ranging from people who completely agree with it to religious people who say, well, yeah, you can be good without God, but you can't go to heaven without being a born-again Christian and so forth. So even within the evangelical Christian world, there's a recognition that, yes, you can indeed live a good life without God, share some of the same human values, even if they may disagree on other things like whether there's an afterlife and final judgment and that sort of thing.
This billboard is certainly provocative. What's the reason for putting it up?
Well, it's because something like this has not really been done or said in many areas of the country. The reaction that we've been getting is just overwhelming. I've been amazed by the level of visibility in the media and with people commenting online on Facebook and so forth. So many people who are non-religious feel kind of cloistered and isolated, like they're the only one. It's very common for me to hear people say, "I don't know another non-believer. I don't know who to talk to about these things." And CFI really has created, both here in Michigan and nationally, quite a community of people who see things the same way when it comes to religion, and it's really a breath of fresh air for a lot of people to learn about CFI and what we're up to.
Well, does CFI believe that there is harm in believing in God?
Not necessarily. There is a wide spectrum of belief within religion in general and within Christianity in particular as the dominant faith here. So I think you can find gentle, loving, caring people throughout the full spectrum, but there are definitely some dangerous and extreme views in some religious traditions as well. And those we would certainly try to combat, but most people that are religious, I think, are kind and caring and reasonable and can get along.
Now, according to the website, the mission of the Center for Inquiry is to foster a secular society based on science, reason, freedom of inquiry, and humanist values. Don't those that are religious-minded hold many of the same values themselves?
Well, yes and no. Again, there's a wide range. I guess to take kind of the more polar end of the range, where CFI members and supporters would value reason and science and empirical evidence, people on the, I guess, conservative end of Christianity, I think, generally come back to faith when science or reason kind of pushes them up against the wall as far as justifying their beliefs.
I'm talking to Jeff Siever. He's the president, executive director of CFI, that is the Center for Inquiry here in Michigan. Now, I wonder, when you see these debates between creationism and evolution, and now the fact that this may in fact enter the classroom as two competing theories, is that a harmful thing for the country to have that occur?
Well, they really aren't competing theories. For a theory in science, there actually has to be a wide base of evidence to support that, and it needs to have a testable hypothesis and so forth. Young Earth creationism, positing that you know, God created the world in 7 days and so forth, is just theology and mythology. There's no basis in evidence for that. So it really has absolutely no place in a science classroom.
I see. And that, although it does appear, at least in some school districts, that some are pushing for that to be the case, let me ask you then, when it comes to the American society, are we somehow better off by being more secular or becoming more secular than we are now? What would the advantage of the advantages of that be?
Well, see if I would like to see a secular society in the sense that matters of public policy, we think, should be decided based on science and evidence and reason, not on mythology that's thousands of years old, that is based on outdated information and primitive understandings of the world. So we're not saying that all religion should be pushed out of all aspects of this, of society, but we are saying that it's not appropriate in the public sphere as far as our government and our public policy.
Well, don't we see very little of that, though, with our separation of church and state?
I actually see inroads being made and attempted all of the time. If you look at the leading presidential contenders on the Republican side of things right now, there are some pretty scary religious points of view that they would like to bring into the public sphere and have influence stem cell research and reproductive rights and all kinds of areas that I would contend religion has no place in influencing.
I want to ask you about the members of the group CFI in general. Do most of them have a religious background? And if so, how does a person journey from growing up with a strong religious faith to becoming essentially an atheist?
Well, there's a wide spectrum within the secular community as well, but there are a lot of people who are actively involved in secular organizations like CFI that did come out of very strong religious backgrounds. And it's quite often the case that these people took their religion so seriously, were such fervent believers, seeking to understand their own faith as well as other people's faith, so that as it differed, you could convert them to Christ, etc., that kind of eagerness and thirst for knowledge led ultimately to the undoing of their faith. So the average atheist or agnostic that I encounter, on average, knows the Bible and knows about religion and comparative religion much more so than the average Christian.
Were you yourself brought up in a religious background?
I was. I was raised as a pretty, I would say, fundamentalist / evangelical Christian.
And what triggered your turn away from that?
No particular instance. It's kind of a myth for the most part that there's some sort of life-changing event, that you experience a death or a trauma or a disappointment that all of a sudden takes away your belief in God. For a lot of people, they find that it happens gradually over a period of months or years as they're studying and thinking about things, reading and so forth. Little by little, things that they had held to be true and dear are no longer believable. And at some point, the weight of that change kind of accumulates to the point where you realize you do not believe any of it anymore.
Well, sometimes the reverse can occur. I mean, life can be quite horrible sometimes, and things happen that can overwhelm even the most reasonable mind, such as the death of a child. What do you say about the role that faith can play in giving a person the ability to make it through the most painful experiences?
Well, certainly it's self-evident, I think, that faith for a lot of people brings comfort through difficult times in life. That's not to say that what they are putting their faith in is true or real, but is held that way by them. And there are plenty of us who find comfort in other people in other ways of support.
And what about the role religion plays in dictating the public's moral behavior? Isn't that a positive thing in restraining some potentially violent or antisocial behavior?
I suppose for some people, possibly, but I was actually intrigued to see in some of the news coverage that the Billboard has received over the last couple of days. It was right next to stories of pastors molesting children and that sort of thing. Religion certainly does not have a monopoly on morality. And in fact, what you see, I think, is that people tend to be good or bad irrespective of their religious point of view, which kind of belies the claims of the religious community that there is something that gives them some special insight or ability to live a moral and decent life.
Well, and when you compare the U.S. to Europe, we're dramatically more religious than many of their developed countries. How do you view the difference, and what do you view as an advantage they have in being more secular than we are?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that can account for the difference. Historically, much of Europe has had a state church, and to that extent, I think it actually has done the church a disservice by making it somewhat irrelevant, where here we have had not just an open marketplace economically, but an open marketplace of ideas on the religious front. So with that kind of competition, you have the best preachers and, you know, the best multimedia shows and at the Sunday service and so forth rise to the top. In the U.S., we tend to not be as supportive of social safety net programs and universalized health care and so forth like they have in Europe. And one of the explanations, possible explanations there, is that when those things are in place, that there's less need to have a religious belief to try to get you through the tougher times, because there actually is a program in place to help you, that you don't need the church or the church community.
Finally, where do you see the U.S. trending? Do you think we are becoming a more religious, or are we trending in a secular direction? Where are we heading from here?
Everything I've seen suggests that we are becoming more secular. Atheists and agnostics make up roughly 10% of the population. The best numbers I've seen for the religiously non-affiliated is about 16%. So that includes the atheists and the agnostics, but also people who have religious beliefs, maybe a belief in God, but don't identify with a particular religion. Non-religious people as a percentage of the population are growing much more so in the younger age ranges. When you talk teenagers and people in their 20s, it's something upward of 30%, according to some studies, do not have a religious affiliation.
Have you gotten any particular negative responses then to this billboard?
Yeah, we've gotten the whole range, yes, but perhaps not the whole range. We have not had death threats. We have not had horrible anonymous letters and emails and so forth like you can expect sometimes for some sorts of issues like this that create, I guess, a little bit of acrimony. So on the whole, I would say people have generally been polite, although there certainly have been some people that are angry and would like the board taken down.
Well, it might even speak to the religious community's nature in the way that they're responding in a fairly peaceful manner then.
Yeah, I would say so. Although the sentiments expressed, while not violent per se, definitely are often tinged with the sort of prejudice that the board is really trying to draw the conversation out about. Non-religious people often, like I said earlier, feel isolated, feel alone, feel like they can't speak their mind with family, with coworkers. They're often worried about keeping a job or getting a job because their religious point of view differs. And so some of that prejudice has been coming out. There are people very clearly voicing that you are a bad person. I would not hire an atheist, et cetera. So it's really bringing the whole conversation to the fore.
Jeff Seaver, the executive director of the Center for Inquiry of Michigan, thank you for joining me.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.